What is up, students? Man, so glad you guys are here tonight. My name is Eric, and we are in our final week of our series called The Heist. And man, we've been going through the parables in Luke, and we've talked about how Jesus robs us of our shame, and we've talked about how our faith should be based on a relationship rather than just the good things we do and the way that we act. And today, man, we are going to talk about a celebration. That is what we are going to focus on today. But I have a question for y'all. How many of you all have been lost before in your life, right? Like, raise your hand. Good. Like, I know that being lost is kind of crazy. You know, you get lost at a public place, like an amusement park or a baseball game or the zoo or something like that. You get lost. You immediately think, oh no, I've lost my parents. They have left me. What is going on? I'm freaking out. This is not good. Or maybe for you, you're like, yes, this happened. I'm so excited. I don't have to deal with those people anymore. But for the sake of this story, let's just stick with I'm scared and I'm afraid and I'm kind of freaking out, right? And your heart beats fast and you're sweating and you begin to maybe have that throw up feeling in your stomach that maybe gets all the way up to your throat, and you're desperately spinning around looking for that familiar face. I know this happened to me just a few months ago. Man, I got a little boy, he was about 2, and we were at the Children's Museum. And this Children's Museum is crazy. It is 4 levels of snotty, booger-eating, crazy kids running around, right? It is a huge place. And I looked down for 1 second, like literally like 1 second, and this little man was gone. And he doesn't do this, and he was lost. And I immediately freaked out. I looked around. I didn't see him. I freaked out. I'm running around like a chick with my head cut off. I'm grabbing kids that aren't mine, turning them towards me. But when I realize that they're not my kids, I kind of throw them aside, and the moms are giving me all these weird looks, and it's a messed up situation. And I was freaking out. I didn't know what else to do. I had lost my boy, and I was thinking, man, is he going to be raised by wolves? Are gypsies going to take him? I was waiting for a phone call of some voice saying, I have your son, give me all your money. And I was getting ready to say, I will find you and I will kill you, like from the movie Taken. I thought I was gonna be that guy. I don't think I'd actually say that. I think I would be a little bit less like hardcore, but this is what was going through my head. And it was 1 minute and 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4, 5, 6, man, I lost him for like 6+ minutes, and that was eternity. And he was lost, and I needed to find him. So finally, I ran up to the next level on this ramp, and I see him, and he's crying with another adult. I'm freaking out. Our eyes meet. He has fear in his eyes. I'm breathing hard. I'm sweating all over the place. I have a look of desperation in my own eyes, and our eyes meet, and we run to each other, and we just hug. And yes, I could have been mad that he had ran off and not listened to me, but all that was trumped by the fact that, man, he was lost and now he was found. And man, I think we all have experienced that feeling before, right? That feeling of relief. And when these moments happen in our life, that, man, we actually celebrate. It is a celebration once that person is found. And really, honestly, this is the same feeling that God has for us. See, like I said before, Luke 15, we've been studying the parables and we've been talking about these parables. And we're going to look at another parable in Luke 15. And it's going to be the parable of the lost sheep. And I can hear the groaning and moaning behind the TV screen right now. You're saying, oh gosh, here we go. Another stinking sermon on that little lost sheep, yada, 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 yada. Well, first of all, what you need to do is you need to stop it, okay? And secondly, I think, man, you are going to see something tonight and hear something tonight and learn something tonight that maybe you haven't previously even thought about before. And so let's take a look in Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 1. It says this: tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and the teachers of the religious law complain, and in other translations it says mutter, that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. And right away, the tone is set, right? Like, there's a house party going down, and it's like two rival gangs enter into the same room. You got the religious leaders coming in over here, and then you got Jesus and his sinful bad guy crew kind of hanging out over here. And these religious leaders begin to, what it says, complain or mutter. They're saying, man, what is Jesus doing? Why is he hanging out with these people? These are sinners. These people are dirty. They are not clean. What is he? And he's even eating with them. What is this guy doing? And Jesus, I could just see him kind of sitting back and just thinking about what parable, what story he's getting ready to tell them, right? He's getting ready to tell them a parable that emphasizes that God didn't see this whole thing, this whole faith thing, this whole living for him thing as this big holy club. Rather, God sees it as a hospital for the sick. Jesus is going to say that, man, if you saw these people like my dad see these people, you wouldn't mutter. Man, rather than mutter, you would mingle. And now just to set something clear, I just want to talk about the parables for a minute. These parables that Jesus told were, he did this so, to mess with people. He did it to mess with the people that he's talking to, and he did it to mess with us, to get us to think in a different way. And so that's why Jesus is getting ready to tell this parable of the lost sheep. Because when we see people the way that Jesus sees people, we search for people. And that's the point of what he's getting ready to say. So I want you to catch this paradigm, just like these religious leaders were trying to catch this paradigm that found people find people, and that saved people serve people. Let's take a look. Verse 3 says, so Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors saying, rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. I don't know about you, but it seems pretty crazy that, man, this shepherd comes home and he counts his sheep and he realizes that one of the 99 are missing. Like, just one of the 99 are missing. To me, man, those are still pretty good numbers. Like a 99%. If I get a 99% on a test, you better believe I'm pretty stinking happy. And really, man, what about this dumb sheep? You got 99 of your friends right here. Why are you going off into the wilderness? What wilderness? What are you doing? Why would you do that? That doesn't make sense. It's not like you're in a Walmart where you're like kind of trapped into a building. No, you are in the wilderness. You will go out there and you will die. Why are you leaving the crew? And to me, it seems like not really a big deal to lose the one. And maybe you're thinking the same thing. But Jesus says, nah, this is a big deal. Jesus says we should not just see the crowds, but we need to see each and every individual. He says this because that's what God sees. God sees your stories and he knows your story. He's seen your past. He knows what you're doing in the present, and he's got an amazing plan for your future if you just allow him in. And Jesus wants to help open our eyes from just seeing the crowd to seeing just the one. And it's so extremely hard for us because we live in a society, and that's just it's a crowd-minded society. We like to be in crowds. And Jesus says, hey, man, I think we got to go away from that. Jesus is not about the crowd. More so, Jesus, man, he values the one. And he does this because the lost is God's priority. And this is what I want to elaborate on tonight. This is what we want to focus in on. See, we love to get to do this Catalyst student ministry. Like, we love to be able to do this. We have these big events and these fun times. And I just wonder if maybe you guys are asking, why would we do that? We do this to motivate you to seek out the lost, to bring them here because you know this is where they need to be and this is where you need to be. Man, I don't know if you guys know this, but at every campus on a weekly basis, we have around 400 students at all four locations coming together to hear the gospel. That's 400 students. That's amazing, right? And then you hear us say things like, hey, y'all, hey, next time we have this event or hey, next week or in the next few weeks, why don't you invite one friend to come? Man, just get one friend to come. Can you imagine if we actually all did that? If every single one of us actually did that, man, we would have a ministry of 800. That's quick math, right? that would double our ministry. And I'm not saying that it's all about the numbers. What I'm saying is that that's 800 people coming together to worship Jesus. That is huge. But the thing about these pushes and about these challenges is, man, they only go so far. They only go so far because we need to actually change something in our heads and our hearts in order for these things to happen. Because, man, for me, if you're anything like me, as the weeks fade, so those visions and that excitement fades as well. And we kind of get back to the norm of what we just do on a daily basis. I've been there and I've done that, and I'm sure you have too. And I believe that there's two types of people in the room tonight. I think there's the lost, that some of you may be lost. And there's some of you that have been found. And the hope is that, man, for everybody in this room to come together so that everybody is found, so that we can all work together to seek the lost. Because the bottom line is this: when you begin to see the lost like Jesus sees the lost, you will begin to search for the lost like Jesus searched for you. When you begin to value those who are far away from God, like God values those who are far away from him, we will bravely go as Jesus once bravely came for us. Man, see, here's the thing. God is so desperate for the lost. He's telling the other sheep to just hang out together for a while as he goes out and finds his lost brother sheep. And he's asking us to do the same thing. See, Jesus loves this Catalyst ministry and us gathering together and learning more about him. But man, he is constantly wanting to seek out the lost outside of this group. So you all here are hopefully wanting to learn more about Jesus. That's why you're here. You may not even be completely found yet. You might still be in that lost category, but guess what? You are here and we love it. And a lot of us here have been found, and you got to understand that, lost or found, that Jesus loves you with everything that he's got. But I think we got to ask a question. Where's our priorities? Where's our priorities for the lost? Where's our priorities for the people that are outside these church walls, that are searching, that are hurting, and what are we doing to help them? See, I'll look back at the story again, and I want to get some perspective on that. The shepherd, let's go back to him. This dude had a long day, working out there, hot, grimy. He comes home, dinner's out. He's excited to get his grub on. He's got Netflix. He's getting ready to binge watch The Office to get down. And then all of a sudden he finds out that one of his dumb sheep got lost in an open stinking field. I don't know about you, but when I found that sheep, I wouldn't pick up that sheep and carry it home like this dude did. Now, I think I'd pretty much kick that sheep in the head and then ride that bad boy back home. That's what he deserves. I don't think I'd have compassion for that kind of nonsense. Man, you get lost and you got to have some repercussions for that, right? But Jesus teaches us a different way. He wants us to see something different. He not only seeks the lost, he searches for them until he finds them. And then when he finds them, he carries them all the way back home. See, what he's saying is that, man, this faith thing and living out our faith is not just a fling. No, he's saying that this faith thing and living out our faith is an adventure that we need to be a part of for as long as it takes. He searched for me, man, and he found me, even with all the junk that I went through. And for us, I think it's so important for us to understand that as a community, as a body, right, that we must have the same kind of passion and commitment to grab a hold of those who are far away from God as long as it takes. You know, I think about the movie The Italian Job when I say something like that. Like, they got a bunch of gold, right? And they were getting after it. They were stealing it all together. And then somebody inside the group steals gold from them and they get all ticked off and they're all wondering, like, we got to get this gold back, man. Like, this can't happen. This isn't how it's going to go down. And so they're planning and they're searching and they're doing research and they're finding people and they're figuring out everything. And they're building up this elaborate plan to get back this gold as long as it took. And it took a while, but then they executed and it happened and they got it back. They lost something and they found it. And this is what happened after that, is that they celebrated. They had a celebration. And so when it comes to a heist of something you want or something you lost and you want back, you plan, right? You search, you figure it out. You don't stop until the job is done because you want that thing that was once lost. You don't give up. And when you finally get what you're looking for, what do? And we celebrate, right? We have a party. We buy a bunch of things and celebrate it with our friends. I don't know about like doing it like in the story, like doing it for the sheep, but this is what happens next in this parable, and this is what we're called to do. It says, the Bible says that even for one sheep, we are to call our neighbors and our friends and have a party for the sheep, right? Can you imagine someone knocking on your door saying, hey man, the dude got this sheep. He got lost. You know, I don't know what he was doing. He's probably out there, you know, checking out the clearance sweater section, those wool sweaters that from last year's stuff, probably made from him. So I don't know. I don't know what he was doing. Man, I found him. I got him back. And hey, dude, we're throwing a party for him. We are having a shindig for the sheep. Yeah, that's for the sheep. And that'd be kind of weird, right? If somebody came to my door saying that, and you go to the party, and you're holding your little party cup, and you got your little party cap on, and you're looking over at the sheep, and he's looking back at you, just saying, bah, like that would just be kind of funky, right? But this is what we are called to do. This is what we are called to do. We are to throw a party for a sheep. I don't, again, think I would be able to do this. I think for me, I would make an example of that sheep. Again, I would kick it, ride it home, shave it, and then I'd probably kill that sheep in front of all the other sheep so that the other sheep know not to go anywhere and get lost. I would make an example. But Jesus is trying to teach us something different. Jesus is saying that, man, not only is he going to carry that sheep home, not only is he going to commit himself to the sheep, finding his or way back to fulfillment and wholeness, but he's going to celebrate. And he's going to invite people to celebrate with him. And you know why? Because this whole sheep finding thing is not just a God thing. This whole sheep finding thing is something for everybody. It's not just about the few here tonight that are good at inviting people to Catalyst or getting people to come to church, or for the people that are have an easy time sharing their faith, or for you introverts, you call them extroverts. It's not just for these people. Jesus is telling us that this is for every single one of us. This is for all of us. This is an us deal. And when one celebrates, we all celebrate. When one of us brings our friend or family to the altar, we all lose our minds and cheer. Because God invites this to be an everybody deal. And then we go back to the story and it gets even crazier, because the Bible says that when one comes home, just one comes home, heaven loses its mind. Nothing creates greater noise in all heaven than one person who is lost getting found. I mean, think about that. The Bible tells us that there are a multitude of angels. Amen. That they're each angel's voice is as loud as a rushing ocean. And man, you got all those angels' voices come together to make one huge, loud noise up in heaven on a daily, just chilling, doing their thing. It gets pretty loud. But Jesus is saying that, man, you know what's even louder than that? One. One person who tried to do life alone and figured out that they couldn't, that they needed Jesus. One person who was raised in the church and maybe was hurt by the church, or was surrounded by a bunch of people who were living one way at church and doing something else during the week. And then they come to the realization that not every place is like that. Faith is not supposed to be like that. And they drop everything and they come in on a Sunday and give their life to Jesus. And the loud noise in heaven prevails. One person who has hurt so many people around them. One person who has done things that we never thought we would ever do. One person who has crossed the line that we thought that never could be crossed. One person that maybe thinks that God just hates them because of who they are and what they do. But then they finally come to the realization that God loves them and God wants them in his life and God needs them. And they walk forward and surrender their lives to him. Heaven loses its mind. Nothing is more worth celebrating than one person coming to Jesus. And that's why you see, man, like if you look at like our social media stream, like, you know, we have 100 baptisms in one weekend. Blows up, craziness. Things are going nuts on social media. We're all cheering inside the church. But the same thing happens when one person gets baptized. People go crazy. Social media blows up. But most of all, heaven loses its mind. And man, for some of you guys, you might be thinking, man, this is not me. I'm not there yet. I think I'm one of those people who are in that lost category. But man, you have to know that Jesus is yearning and wanting you to come back to him. He wants you to come home. So don't leave tonight without telling someone that, man, hey, I think I might be one of those lost sheep, because here's the thing, man, there is a shepherd and he is searching for you and he's looking for you and he's not going to stop until he finds you as long as it takes. And that shepherd's name is Jesus. This is who he is. He simply just wants you to come home and understand this. And they are ready to lose their minds in heaven for you. And for only you alone. I hope that you know, man, we always say, hey, thank you for our first time people. We're so glad you guys are here. I hope you know that that is extremely genuine. We say that because we mean it. And we pray for y'all on a weekly basis. We are so glad that you are here tonight and know that you are loved and that you are God's priority without a doubt. See, when it comes to Jesus, and he wants to steal your old way of thinking and replace it with this way of thinking. He wants to do this so that after the heist, we can all celebrate together. After he steals people out of the darkness, he wants us to know that heaven goes crazy. And he wants us to know that, man, this is an everybody deal. This is for everyone, not just a few. See, we are called to search for the lost because Jesus is always searching for us. We love this ministry and all the fun events that we get to have, but you want to know what we love more? We love when students, you guys, are bold and courageous enough to open up your eyes and see the world like Jesus sees your world. If you saw people like Jesus sees people, you would search like he once searched for you. You will go like Jesus went when you see the one like Jesus sees the one. So man, I challenge you, man, let's have plenty of reason to celebrate the heist of the lost. And some of you guys might be asking, like, how do I do this? All right, next steps, give it to me. Man, we have an amazing opportunity coming up next week. Next weekend, we're having our first Sunday. It's our first Sunday. We came up with an amazing creative name of it. It's the first Sunday of the month. And so we called it First Sunday. And we came together as a team and realized that we needed a night once a month that these students have an opportunity to invite those people, to invite the lost to come to a neat evening at Catalyst, a different evening at Catalyst. And so we want to give you this opportunity to invite somebody to this first Sunday. This is it. If you're asking, what do I do? This is it. You say, how do I do it? You pray, and then you ask, and then you pray some more, and they're gonna say no, and then you ask again, and then you pray some more, and then you find another person, and you ask them, and you pray some more. We do this together so that in the end, we can all celebrate the lost being found.